Religion on the Line. 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality, faith, hope, love, or the hot buttons of today. Talk about it now. 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You're listening to Religion on the Line, the show where we talk about faith, belief, spirituality. We look at the issues of the day from a religious perspective, and we're eager to get your calls and talk about some of those hot topics of the day. I'm Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kinston, Kansas, and I'm joined in studio with
Pastor Barry Fries, retired United Methodist pastor, along with
Rabbi Alan Londy of the New Reformed Temple.
Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us this morning and subbing for the Reverend Robert Hill and for Rabbi Michael Zedek, who are taking some much-deserved vacation. So it's great to be here this morning with you, our dear listeners. If you want to join the conversation, you can give us a call, 816-576-7710, or also I understand 913 will work as well, so that's 576-7710. We'd love to hear your thoughts about faith, belief, questions you might have for the rabbi or for the Catholic or for the for our Protestant, we'd love to just dialogue with you. So how y'all doing today, gentlemen?
I'm good. I ask for safety prayers for my daughter and her fiance. They're up at Smithville Lake.
Okay,
having staked out a place camping, on behalf of the. The hope to see the eclipse.
Oh, so there'll be wonderful.
Big weather going through there. Right
oh boy,
now.
Yeah, there's some rain happening right now.
I appreciate that. I find myself reflecting on who stands with whom. Of course, one of the central connections of the monotheistic faith is that God is with us, all the time. But in the news, a lot of people are resigning from groups that are affiliated with our 45th president, and it's interesting. I think one pastor had stepped away from the so-called religious advisory group, but the rest at the moment, last I saw anyway, were hanging in there.
Yeah, I can't remember something like this happening in the past. Do you guys remember?
Unprecedented.
Yeah. What about you, Rabbi? How are you doing today?
Tough week for our great country. And it's created within our community, within the Jewish community, a certain sense of heightened awareness, fear, to see people marching around with torches, expressing anti-Semitic, neo-Nazi rhetoric is scary for the Jews. Last night I saw Abe Foxman, who was for many years the leader of the Anti-Defamation League, and he was a Holocaust survivor as well. He said he could never imagine the imagery that he's seen on television of Charlottesville last Friday night and Saturday. So these are scary times for, I think, all Americans and for the Jewish community. And the question is, does America have the strength to not overcome it, but to, clarify its values? I think that's what the challenge is for our country. Can we get back to an equilibrium? I think we're off center at this point, and that's kind of a scary thought for me and for my community.
No doubt about it. The Southern Poverty Law Center has published a list sorted by state of what they call hate groups. And there's quite a few in Missouri and Kansas.
I think Missouri is one of the most densely populated, if you can say that, of hate groups.
In what sense do you mean dense?
Dense in a sense of the absolute number of hate groups.
Oh, the number. Okay.
I'm not, you're giving levels of meaning here.
I'm just asking.
Okay.
You set them up all night.
No, but I mean, you look at the chart of the Southern Poverty Law Center, and
I scrolled more than once.
You say, "Oh my God!"
Down the phone screen. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners, to join the conversation. Call us at 816-576-7010. So Barry, other than the camping and our mutual shared concern about the tension happening in this country, any other thoughts, or did you bring some logs to put on the fire, as Reverend Bob Hill is fond of saying?
Well, the scripture that I read says, "All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved," and all means all. You know, that's a big big word for three letters. And I'm really wrestling with the colleagues that I have in the broad sense of Protestant clergy that are not speaking out against the idea that some people belong in a certain place and others need to not be there by some scary means. My family is an immigrant family. In the late 1800s, when things were stirring up in Europe, my predecessors came over, and I'm the first generation to not speak a foreign language, German in my case, as the household language. And I'm just really, really unsettled. I don't see a lot of overlap between the idea that one piece of dirt is exclusive and only for one set of folks and the scripture that I know.
So do you feel like with the marches, that's what's being called for? Like, certainly in what exactly do you see as being the threat? I guess that's what I'm asking.
Well, just the idea that armed people would be in the streets announcing the country is for them and not for a number of other groups that may believe different, look different. That's something that unsettles me, and I think is not what our country was founded on. Now, people do make the argument that it was because of the reprehensible, you know, 3/5 of a slave equals a, you know, so forth. But we've continued to progress, and I think making progress is, you know, is really, really what it's all about in the church business. One of the things that is a challenge is to drive from looking out the windshield and not using the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
You know, it's nobody would do that in a car for very long, but many of our religious institutions do look to the past. Now, yes, I mean, we all look to the past in the terms of, you know, scripture and our beliefs about what God is doing, and yet the use of that is to move forward, in my opinion. And that's what's scary when that's not the agenda.
One of the things that surprises me, and I'm looking at it from the outside to a certain extent, is the fact that certain groups within the Christian community seem less likely to express concern. For example, the continued support of the evangelical churches for President Trump, or their lack of desire to express concerns about the rhetoric of the past week. Is that just the news distorting it, or is there really a problem or within the evangelical churches to respond to this? You know, you know, we don't, it's not always clear through the news media that you're getting a clear view of what's actually happening in the churches. So what's your sense of that?
I think the question is an important one, particularly how churches operate within themselves and within the world. We're going to talk more about that. I'm getting the high sign for a break.
Yeah, so we'd love to hear from you, particularly if you're an evangelical and you support you continue to support our president, you want to join in on that discussion, 816-576-7710. You're listening to Religion on the Line. We'll be back after this break.
Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets. Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball. My name is Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the radio show Capitalist Pigs. Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively expensive. Why should this be a concern? Because markets rarely do well from periods of high valuations over the ensuing 10 years. But this is a great time to evaluate the risk you're taking with your investments. Do you have too much in stocks or too much in bonds? Now, what's your plan if either of these two markets fall or go nowhere for a lengthy period of time? Maybe we can help. Download our free report at investontrack.com and see how we use extreme diversification and other risk reduction tools to help navigate these markets in our all-weather growth portfolio. Again, go to investontrack.com and download our free report.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store. Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even three U.S. presidents have Boll & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to BollAndBranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP. Spelled B-O-L-L and Branch.com. That's BollAndBranch.com, promo code SLEEP.
The IRS doesn't mess around. If they want your money, they'll take it. They can take your paycheck and bank accounts too, even threaten your home or business. And it's about to get worse. The IRS just hired an army of new tax enforcers. So, if you owe back taxes, the smartest thing you can do is call Optima Tax Relief. Optima has access to a special IRS tax assistance program called the Fresh Start Initiative. And their clients that qualify are saving thousands, even tens of thousands. One call starts the process to stop the demand letters, stop aggressive collection actions, and stop that army of new enforcers from targeting you. But don't delay. It's important to act now while you still have options. Optima is A-rated with the Better Business Bureau. Optima has already resolved over $500 million of tax debt for their clients. Get your life back. Call now for your free consultation.
Call 800-743-7967. 800-743-7967. 800-743-7967. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
When you buy groceries, your choice is influenced by prices.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Rick Hafer.
Free-range eggs cost more than regular eggs, so most of us buy the latter. When a business hires a worker, the price it has to pay, the wage, will help determine who it can hire. The higher the wage, the more skilled the worker will have to be for the business to employ her. Raising the minimum wage to $15 will have detrimental effects. Many currently employed entry-level workers will become unemployed because their skills simply are not worth $15. Imposing a $15 minimum wage will speed up the adoption of labor-saving technologies, further impacting entry-level workers. Express checkout lanes at the grocery store and electronic kiosks at fast food restaurants are just two examples. If successful, the Fight for 15 movement will only harm those workers it is supposed to be helping.
To learn more, visit Hammond.Institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
KCMO Talk Radio cares for KC.
Hi, I'm Dan Doty from City Union Mission, inviting you to help us strike out KC hunger. Last year, our amazing volunteers at City Union Mission passed out over 256,000 meals to the homeless in need right here in Kansas City. Your gift of any amount helps us continue our mission in tackling KC hunger. Volunteers are always needed at the mission, and you can always make a cash donation of any amount at cityunionmission.org.
For more on what's happening in our community and how you can get involved, visit caringforkc.com. Stimulating talk for Kansas City.
Thank you very much for allowing average Americans to voice their opinion. Thank you for allowing me to speak on this.
KCMO Talk Radio.
You're listening to Religion on the Line, the show where we talk about faith, belief, spirituality, and we look at the issues of the day from a religious perspective. I'm Bill Scholl with Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas, along with
Pastor Barry Freese. I'm a retired United Methodist pastor, along with
Rabbi Alan Londy of the New Reformed Temple.
And before we left Rabbi Allen, you were asking the question about evangelicals, and all the events happening today, and you had a concern. What was that concern?
I'm just, you know, as a Jew looking at the Christian community, I don't always understand the nuances, not just the theological nuances, but the political nuances of American Christianity. And from what I understand, and based on the direct contact that President Trump has with the religious community, the evangelical community appears to be less likely to criticize the president. And I'm just wondering, is that true? What does that mean? Is there that kind of diversity of reaction to President Trump? I know in the Jewish community, it's pretty uniform, especially the concerns when you're dealing with the presence of neo-Nazis. The Jewish community seeks absolute renunciation, to find any sense that within that group there are people who don't represent a fundamental evil. When you hear that kind of rhetoric, it's a profound concern to us. But I'm seeing it within my own community. It's really important for me to see it from outside of my community and in the diversity of American Christianity, which I don't always understand the nuances of.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
I think it's probably too broad a brush to say that all evangelicals don't have concerns about our 45th president. And yet, you know, if you look down the list of his, the remaining pieces of his councils, I think it is safe to say that, you know, that a lot of those folks would line up, you know, if somebody said, I'm an evangelical, they would raise their hand. You know, many of the pieces, I mean, I have my personal experience checks the box of many evangelical requirements. The sacredness and accuracy of Scripture, for example, a personal experience of a life-changing relationship with God, an active God in the form of the Holy Spirit. That's right up my alley. And yet, I tend to do more of a both and than I do an either or. The relationship even of the nation, a country, to the Christian faith, in this case, is what I can talk about, is significant. A lot of one of the unique things that happens in the United States in religious rooms, sanctuaries, worship centers, is the presence of an American flag and a Christian flag. One of the things you can pretty much guarantee to cause a stir in the church is if you took the American flag out. Flag poles are another place. That relationship, I mean, 99% of the time, if there's a flag pole on a Christian church, it's going to have one flag, and it's going to be the United States, which begs the question of the relationship between the government. Now, I've had churches say, well, it's okay if you put up a Christian flag as long as it's beneath the American flag. And when you exegete that theologically, that doesn't get very far in terms of its connection with Scripture. The churches I served, one church for a while actually flew a simple Christian flag, white with a blue field in the upper left-hand corner and a red cross. But it caused a lot of consternation and was under constant pressure. So the whole view of the relationship and indeed obligation, many evangelicals, again, not all, but many will, you have to check all the boxes or else you're not good. And if you do one thing that's that in their interpretation of Scripture is not okay, a sin, then that eliminates you. The God I understand is a God that invites everyone and loves us unconditionally. And I wrestle with situations where you got to check all the boxes and there's somebody else's boxes, and if not, then you're in trouble, air quotes, trouble with them. And in this situation, you know, it was heartening for me to see the, I don't think we'll ever know the exact ratio of right wing, you know, alt way right wing folks versus the people responding to them in Boston. You know, I think it's safe to say there were thousands of people for every
40,000
for
people
every
marched,
single, yeah. You know, free speech person. The free speech is one of the key things in our country, and I think it's important that these folks have the ability to say it. I think it's also important that I can say I'm revolted by some of the things that they appear to stand for based on my faith.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the challenges, right? Is that leads to tension, it leads to conflict. But when it's out in the open, you can deal with it. I think I, like many Americans, are concerned with this movement to have the state step in and codify speech, saying, well, certain kinds of speech have to be banned. And you may agree with the speech that the state wants to ban today, but what happens when you've given them over that power and you disagree with them tomorrow?
Well, but is there speech that is so offensive, that so undermines the values of a society, that to permit that speech is a clear and present danger? I mean, I'll give you an analogy. I'm really asking a question. I'm not pontificating. In Germany,
yeah, that's my job.
Okay, in Germany, in the aftermath of the Second World War and aftermath of the Shoah, of the Holocaust, certain speech, certain actions are forbidden.
Certain symbols as well.
Certain symbols. I mean, some of the things that were done in Charlottesville would lead to someone going to jail in Germany. So, you know, I'm a big free speech advocate, of course, as an American, as someone who believes deeply in our Constitution, our Bill of Rights. But there is evil speech in this world and in this country, and the notion that that all speech is to be treated equally is a problem. I mean, and I don't have a solution to it. The idea of the state censoring speech or censoring assembly is incredibly frightening to me as an American, as a civil libertarian. On the other hand, is you're dealing with hate, with a variety of expression, of values, of actions that are meant to not just express opinions, but to intimidate, to frighten people. And I think we have to ask the question, are all of those behaviors tolerable in a free society? So it's absolute interpretations of anything also make me nervous.
All right, well, we'll be right back after this break. You can call us at 816-576-7710. We'd love to hear your thoughts about this whole question of free speech.
KCMO Talk Radio cares for KC.
Since the attacks of September 11th, over 2 million troops have been deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan. As our soldiers return home, they face a new battle, life with post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury. With the assistance of a service dog, soldiers are regaining their physical and emotional independence. And for some, their service dog has meant the difference between life and death. Sadly, service dogs are in short supply. For veterans who cannot afford the steep cost of a service dog, they have no alternative but to place their name on a waiting list that can be as long as 3 years. To help make a difference in the lives of these veterans and their families, Warrior's Best Friend is training service dogs and matching them with wounded veterans at no cost to the soldier. Warrior's Best Friend partners with Great Plains SPCA and only adopts dogs for their program. If you or someone you know is a post-9/11 vet who sustained PTSD or traumatic brain injury as a result of combat, visit warriorsbestfriend.org to find out if a service dog is right for you.
For more on what's happening in our community and how you can get involved, visit caringforkc.com.
CBS News Update. A week after the violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, there were protests in several U.S. cities, including Dallas, where an estimated 2,000 demonstrated at a cemetery that houses a Confederate soldier memorial.
Now is the time to do what is right in the city of Dallas. Now is the time to bring these monuments down.
Police in riot gear, some on horseback, forced the protesters out of the area. But the biggest rally was in Boston, where tens of thousands of anti-white supremacist demonstrators upstaged a small group of free speech proponents. Police Chief William Evans.
99.9% of the people here were for the right reason, and that's to fight bigotry and hate for the most part here today. We knew we were going to have some people who were going to cause problems, and we had to make the latest is 27 arrests so far.
CBS News Update. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
KCTV Storm Track 5 forecast.
Definitely more clouds around as we start your Sunday. A slight chance of rain continues through the morning, especially into the afternoon. Temperatures still pretty warm, reaching the upper 80s and low 90s. Into the evening, a slight chance for rain continuing. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
Better Horses Network is the premier broadcast channel for horses, ranching, and all things Western. Better Horses Network consists of people, brands, and professionals who strive to be at the top of their game in the world of horses and ranching. Broadcasting across America and the globe, when you want to target your message to those who love the world of ranching, the great outdoors, and all things equine, Better Horses Network exists for you. Welcome to Better Horses Network.
Roll back, repeal, and reject the regulators, and watch America become great again.
This is the Free Market Minute with Tim Jones.
The effects of regulators gone wild are felt by everyday Americans. Higher electric and gas bills courtesy of the EPA, dramatic hikes to food prices courtesy of the FDA, a severe loss of loans and credit to small businesses courtesy of Dodd-Frank, and fewer health care choices and higher costs thanks to Obamacare are just a few examples. The incoming Trump administration has promised to roll back job-crushing, economy-killing regulations and slash thousands of ill-meaning bureaucrats from the government rolls. If new political leaders at all levels follow through on these promises, strap in tight. Once the economic engine of American entrepreneurs and small business owners is unleashed and unshackled, this newfound freedom will result in more jobs, higher wages, and newfound opportunities for all Americans.
To learn more, visit Hammond.Institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
When it comes to trade deals, the U.S. holds all the cards.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Howard Wall.
I keep hearing about all the bad trade deals the U.S. has signed on to, but I can't find a single one that hasn't been a boon to the U.S. economy. The world trading system is largely governed by trade agreements that have forced countries in the rest of the world to adopt U.S. policies and to open their markets to U.S. goods. As a result, U.S. consumers have had access to goods from all over the world, while U.S. firms have become more efficient and more profitable. The U.S. has been the richest market in the world for decades, which gives us most of the bargaining power and has allowed us to basically dictate the terms of trade agreements. None of this is to say that our trade agreements are perfect or that their benefits have been felt by everyone. But it's not a stretch to say that the U.S. has been able to take its trading partners to the cleaners for decades.
To learn more, visit Hammond.Institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
The Capitalist Pigs, Saturday mornings at 8, FM 103.7 and AM 710. Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
America is ours. We the people. We're the government. Shame on you.
It'll be really interesting to see what happens.
Kansas City's KCMO.
You're listening to Religion on the Line, and the boards are starting to light up, so we're eager to get to your calls, and please join us on the conversation, 816-576-7710. I'm Bill Scholl with Archdiocese of Kinston, Kansas. I'm here in studio with
Pastor Barry Freese. I'm a retired United Methodist pastor, along with
Rabbi Alan Londi of the New Reformed Temple, and I'm not retired.
Yeah, neither am I. Neither am I. I'd like to be.
Dude, when you say that retired, you say it with pride.
I'm good with it.
You're good with it.
I'm all right. You know, I'm still working out how it's all gonna go. Had interesting conversations this week about maybe a couple foundations where I could volunteer, perhaps. Nice. Another social action group is. I've got a number of friends. And people I regard highly active in the Moore Squared organization. I've had a few conversations, not recently, but I keep hoping there's a niche for me, and I hope that God will grant me the open eyes to see it and recognize it when it appears.
We don't want you to retire.
You know, you didn't get to decide. I did. Yeah, but I'm still here.
Come on. I love making decisions for other people. Come on.
I can't make
my own decisions.
Well, wouldn't everything be easier if other people would just do what we tell them, right?
That's right. That's what I keep telling my sons. Come, just listen to me. All right, we've got Richard from Topeka. Richard, you're on Religion on the Line.
Good morning, gentlemen. In lieu of your conversation about the situation in this country, I remember early in the 50s there was a group of KKK that marched down Kansas Avenue, and they were disarmed simply by the fact that very few people showed up, and those that did show up, for the most part, simply prayed.
Yeah. Yeah,
and in hindsight, that reminds me of the teachings of Jesus, as he said, pray for your enemies do good to those who persecute you.
Yep.
It disarms their attitude. If we show up with clubs and the same attitude as our enemies, there's going to be a fight.
Yes, there is. And thanks for calling in from Topeka. We're happy to be on the air there. Is there a particular religious tradition that guides your faith?
Christian.
Okay.
Christian. Well, and I think it's important to remember, it's disturbing to think that some of our past, some of our dark racist past, when we had institutional racism, there's a well-founded fear that would come back. But I think it's also good to remember here in Kansas City and all across the country, these forces used to be institutionalized. They used to be much more powerful, but they've subsided. And I think we have to ask, we've been talking about free speech, but I have to think, well, one of the ways that they subsided is we had this freedom of speech. We could talk about that. We could openly criticize institutionalized racism and address it. And so the concern is what happens in the attempt to maybe achieve a temporary peace if we let go of our cherished right of free speech. But did you hear Rabbi Allen's point about Germany and how after World War II certain forms of speech were relegated? They didn't want a return of the Nazi Holocaust. Did you get to catch that part, Richard?
Well, it seems like people listen to what people say, not rather what they do. And when people speak, sometimes they speak out of pocket. My understanding is, in listening to someone is interesting. Conversation is interesting, yes, but how do they act? How do they carry out what they say? And if they carry out something that violates the law, then within our country, we have the right. The law enforcement has the right to restrain. blame that individual or individual.
Yeah, for breaking the law.
I think the president criticized both sides of the evil attitudes there, and I believe that, in my mind, that's exactly what took place. There were angry people there on both sides, and they didn't hold their anger. It was unrighteous anger. And there's nothing wrong with anger.
But it was more than anger. It was an expression of certain ideas that are...
Exactly what I'm saying. They carried out their anger in an unrighteous manner.
I just think it's more than anger. I think it's an expression of certain philosophies that are so fundamentally against our Judeo-Christian values of the dignity of all individuals. I mean, the rhetoric of the white supremacists, the KKK, the neo-Nazis, is a fundamental denial of the humanhood of people. So I agree with you. There is anger, but behind the anger, there is a philosophy that is attacks the fundamental values of what makes this country great.
Well, for example, the speech of some of I would be considered politically a conservative, as I am in the religious note. And there's a difference, I think, between being conservative and extreme right and extreme left in our society. We have a group of people who are trying to destroy this particular individual who was voted in. At first, he's a Russian friend, and now he's a Nazi friend. And those two ideologies don't match up. I mean, they were fighting against each other during World War II, and one, as I understand it. So, it looks to me like people are trying to disrupt the activities that need to be carried out according to the man who was voted in.
But let's get back to what happened in Charlottesville. It wasn't a discussion of the presidency of President Trump. It was President Trump reacted to the events in Charlottesville, and that's a whole other that's a secondary topic to this specific idea of what does it mean. And what is the purpose and what is the threat when neo-Nazis, KKK, white supremacists march with torches shouting anti-Semitic neo-Nazi slogans and march around a church filled with loving, caring, church-going people and intimidate them? I mean... What'd you say?
Pray for them. Take them a glass of water.
Yes, and I think what I hear you advocating is some loving action in response to the state of belief
The reality is, as from the Jewish experience, and I fully respect what you're saying, sir. From a Jewish experience, that's a difficult one.
Yeah.
Because to give a glass of water to Nazis, whose whole goal is to destroy the Jewish people, is beyond my sense of love, and that's just
Jesus was Jewish.
Well, that's
I heard about that.
That's a whole other topic. Okay.
Well, I believe that he was. Yeah.
No, I
according
I don't
to the
that.
Dialogue that I read, he was Jewish.
Okay,
and he was teaching people of the Jewish, the Israeli nation.
Yes,
he was teaching people of Judea. He was in about the area. That's the only place he taught, as I understand the time and period that dialogue is presented.
We're not going to get into the Jewishness of Jesus because
is religious on the line. Religion
no,
on the line,
but the fact of the matter is that Jesus expressed certain religious views that don't express the totality of Judaism over the last 3,000 years. So that's a whole different discussion that we can have when I get my own radio show.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to sit down and have it.
Your show,
please. Let's and gentlemen. Have a good day.
I know that's so cool. Thank you for calling, sir.
Thanks, Cole. Thanks for calling,
Bye-bye.
Richard. Jim, you're on Religion on the Line. My board says you want to talk about scriptures. How are you there,
yes,
Jim?
Hey, Jim. Would like to know how come people don't read 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Well, do you happen to have that? Do you want to read it to us right now?
Sure. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin, and will heal their land. I believe that this nation needs to be on their knees and praying for President Trump, because I believe he was put in office by God. And I believe that this nation is strayed so far away from God that we're seeing this, the droughts, the fires, the hurricanes, the floods, and God has been trying to speak to this nation, and we're not listening.
How would that play out for your faith? What would you do personally, specifically, to respond to that belief?
I think people need to be seeking God's face and not his hands, because people are always wondering what can they get from God instead of what can they give to God. God wants their heart.
I follow you there. So how would that be lived out for you? How do you, if I didn't know your belief, which you've stated clearly from Scripture, how would I get the idea that that was important for you if I just happened to run into you at a restaurant or shopping or just walking down the street or driving?
Well, you know, individually, we are led by the Spirit. And whenever you meet somebody that is Spirit-filled or Spirit-led, there's a cohesion that brings people together. See, God is a God of love, and he is also a uniter, not a divider. And whenever you see all this hate and division in our country, it's because we have good against evil or evil against good, instead of people reaching out in Christ's love to bring this nation together.
Jim, we want to talk more with you. Would you hold on over the break?
Well, my phone battery's getting low. I better go.
All right. Well, sorry, we're up against the break. Yeah.
I would like to say, you know, you have three different factions, three different people that are talking. There's only one God, one faith, one Jesus Christ. They have never spoke about Jesus Christ on today's show.
You missed
Jesus Christ needs to be lifted up.
Well, amen to that. We need to lift up Jesus. We need to lift up Yahweh, and we need to lift up. This is a show about dialogue about religion. So we meet each other where we're at, and we share a perspective, and hopefully our listeners get something out of that and grow closer and grow in their faith tradition by listening to the show. So thanks for calling, Jim. We'll be right back after this break.
If you are a baby boomer, we've designed a retirement show specifically for you. It's the Retirement Income Doctor, Mark Falter. Mark Falter is known as one of the top retirement minds in the country, and we've got him every Sunday afternoon at 2.
Hi, I'm Dan Doty, the Executive Director at City Union Mission, inviting you to help us strike out KC hunger. Last year, our amazing volunteers at City Union Mission passed out over 256,000 meals to the homeless in need right here in Kansas City, as well as providing nearly 135,000 nights of shelter to those in need. Your gift of any amount helps us continue our mission in striking out KC hunger. Volunteers are always needed at the mission, and you can also easily make cash donations now at cityunionmission.org.
Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets.
Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball. My name is Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the radio show Capitalist Pigs. Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively expensive. Why should this be a concern? Because markets rarely do well from periods of high valuations over the ensuing 10 years. But this is a great time to evaluate the risk you're taking with your investments. Do you have too much in stocks or too much in bonds? Now, what's your plan if either of these two markets fall or go nowhere for a lengthy period of time? Maybe we can help. Download our free report at investontrack.com and see how we use extreme diversification and other risk reduction tools to help navigate these markets in our all-weather growth portfolio. Again, go to investontrack.com and download our free report.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store. Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even three U.S. presidents have Boll & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to bollandbranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP. Spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. That's bollandbranch.com, promo code SLEEP.
Not available in all states.
Hey, Tracy. Heard you started your own business.
Yep, a Reese and Irvy's frozen yogurt vending franchise. It's the latest revolution in healthy frozen yogurt. My robots...
Wait, your robots?
Yep, my robots deliver seven flavors of delicious and healthy frozen yogurt to customers in high-traffic locations. And Reese and Irvy's provides everything we need to succeed.
And the robots do the work.
They work, so I don't have to.
How can I get my own robots?
Simply go to froyofranchising.com, enter promo code 1616, and submit your information. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 1616.
You're unique, so why is your mattress one size fits all? Because a custom mattress costs thousands, until now. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of HelixSleep.com, where you can buy a mattress online, customized for you, for hundreds of dollars instead of thousands. Go to HelixSleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and we build you the most comfortable mattress you'll ever sleep on. Shipping is free, and you have 100 nights to try it out. Go to HelixSleep.com/talkradio and get $50 off your order. HelixSleep.com/talkradio.
Tesla, too good to be true? This is the Free Market Minute with Tim Jones.
Many conservatives have rallied to Tesla, the famous electric car company, as it seeks to undo state auto franchise laws and sell directly to the consumer. But what actually drives the company's success? The LA Times recently reported that Tesla's cars themselves aren't making the company any money. So how does Tesla turn a profit? Through a complicated web of tax credits and taxpayer subsidies. Every time Tesla sells one of its Model S autos for more than $100,000, taxpayers can actually be on the hook for more than $30,000 in subsidies, causing one commentator to remark that Tesla is worse than Solyndra. Tesla is an interesting product, but the CEO of the largest U.S. auto retailing company recently remarked, "There's a certain irony here that as Tesla's owner complains about government intervention and government protectionism, it wouldn't exist without government itself."
To learn more, visit Hammond.institute. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
Chris Platt.
I'm the man that you single-handedly converted into a conservative, so everybody out there in radio land, keep listening. Chris Platt is a genius.
It's Chris Platt, weekdays 11 to 1 on Kansas City's KCMO.
KCMO. If we seem a little harsh,
I'm not making excuses.
We're just telling you like it is. Kansas City's KCMO.
You're listening to Religion on the Line. To join the conversation, give us a call at 816-576-7710. I'm Bill Scholl, the social justice consultant for the Archdiocese of Kinston, Kansas. I'm joined in studio with...
Pastor Barry Fries. I'm a retired United Methodist pastor, along with...
I'm Rabbi Alan Londi of the New Reformed Temple.
Barry and Alan, thank you for sitting in for Reverend Bob Hill and Rabbi Michael Zedek. So thanks for being here. We've had a great conversation. We've been talking about all the things that have been going on in this country and the question of free speech And Jim recently called and talked about the importance of proclaiming Jesus Christ. So certainly, yes, as a Catholic, I proclaim Jesus Christ. But we were talking over the break about, well, how do you exactly live that out? I mean, it's easy to say, well, just do what God tells you. And if everybody just did what God told them to do, and if it all would just turn to God and listen— everything would be great, and act accordingly.
Yeah.
But then you have to ask the question. Well, who's God and whose understanding of God? Yeah. And that's really what that show is about. This show is about it's a chance for us to come together, and hopefully have conversations with people we might not normally meet, and talk about how do we seek God? How do we seek God out in our life? How do we find out God's will, and how do we exactly do that? I can say in the Catholic tradition, there's three main functions of a Catholic disciple. Of course, you have the liturgy. We as Catholics believe in the power of the sacraments that God, Jesus Christ, instituted a church, and he created sacred signs that bring about grace, that affect grace. The highest of that being the Mass, where we believe Jesus is actually present. Body, soul, and divinity at the Mass. So you live that life, but it's not enough to just do that. You have to go out and live it. So through works of charity, we have to live out works of charity. We have to share the joy we've found, and then also, of course, proclaiming the Word, having a personal encounter with Christ, and then proclaiming that to our friends and relatives, and anyone will hear us. But always in a spirit of charity, and always in a way that proposes and not imposes. Yeah, and I imagine we all three have something kind of a similar formula.
Now, I really love Jim's call. I mean, I could feel over the line his profound sense of his faith, and I so truly admire that. I just wanted to make just one further point in response to his wonderful call and his faith and comments. In the sense is that, you know, within Judaism we have a profound emphasis on the prophetic tradition, and the prophets of ancient Israel had a concern. They critiqued society, but they called upon us to act in this world, and from my religious tradition, you're not going to, you pray for people to repent, but that doesn't stop you from opposing them when you feel that they are a clear and present danger. Jews from their history know that evil people will do evil things, and if they're not opposed and in this worldly way, horrible things can happen, and that's the reality of the Jewish experience in the 20th century. So Jim and I are drawing from the same body of faith. We're just trying to figure out, and perhaps we have a different view of how one actualizes that faith in the real world. And that's good.
That's good. That is
and
good.
That's good.
Let's see what we have a caller, Doug. Oh, Doug, can you hold on? We just hit the hard break. So can you hold on over the break?
Sure can.
All right. Good. Okay.
Listen carefully to this investor alert from Protecting Your Retirement. Are you one of thousands recently told by your broker or fee advisor that they will no longer provide personal service because your assets are below their new minimum requirements? Call Don Wales and his team at Protecting Your Retirement. They are KC area's no fee, no minimum assets, no market risk, face-to-face financial professionals, and they intend to stay that way. They will never push you off to a robot or pool advisor. Protecting Your Retirement. 913-648-2700.
KCMO Talk Radio cares for KC.
Hi, I'm Dan Doty from City Union Mission, inviting you to help us strike out KC hunger. Last year, our amazing volunteers at City Union Mission passed out over 256,000 meals to the homeless in need right here in Kansas City. Your gift of any amount helps us continue our mission in tackling KC hunger. Volunteers are always needed at the mission, and you can always make a cash donation of any amount at cityunionmission.org.
For more on what's happening in our community and how you can get involved, visit caringforkc.com.
KCMO AM 710 Kansas City.
101.1 FM KCFX HD2 Harrisonville.
FM 103.7 K27.